Welcome to the Calisthenics Insider Podcast. Today's guest is the Masked Mediator, an interview guest I didn't know much about and I didn't know what to expect from this interview, but it turned out to be a really valuable, inspirational interview about his workout routine, his life, his goals, and a lot of useful information. On 1st of November 2023, we celebrated our 8th anniversary, and I want to say thank you to everyone celebrating with us with new clothing and being part of the journey for such a long time. If you're looking for the timestamps, you can find them here on the screen and also in the description, so you can jump to the topic that is interesting you. And now let's jump into the interview. As I said, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining in. Masked Mediator is the guest today, and I'm super looking forward to this interview, to someone who is special already with his appearance. We never had someone who is hiding his face in the interview, and I'm super looking forward to get to know more about you and your mentality of your...
Yeah. Thank you for having me. Actually, a fun fact, when I have breakfast normally, I like to put on a podcast and listen to something. And roughly a year ago or a year and a half ago, I've listened to a couple of your podcasts, specifically with Max Tru. I think you've done two with him. Mm-hmm. And then the other was Ian Barzigel. And yeah, I wouldn't have thought that after a year, year and a half, I'll be on this side doing the interview as well. So yeah, it's a great honor, great privilege. So yes, thank you for having me.
Nice. Yeah, happy to hear. That's super cool. And yeah, let's start with the question that burns in my, I don't know, in my head so much. Why do you wear a mask? Why are you are not sitting in front of me like a normal human being?
Like a normal person. Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, when I started this whole social media thing, I kind of started it for fun. And I did it because I was training calisthenics anyway, and I thought to myself, I'm going to keep progressing and improving. I don't do any of this stuff for social media or anything. I'm going to keep doing this. Well, I might as well record it, put it on social media, and perhaps get something out of it in the long run. That's why I started the whole social media part, just for fun. But then I looked at other content creators, other influencers, and it was like, well, there are plenty of other fitness guys. There are plenty of other calisthenics guys. And a lot of them can be much stronger than me. They can do things that I can't do, etc. Very impressive. It's like, what's the whole point of me just fitting in and doing the same thing as everyone else? Let me try and do something different. So then I was like, all right, cool. Why don't I, pop on a mask and remain anonymous, and we'll see how that goes. In fact, the first mask I would wear, it was the that one, so the black one from Squid Game. But the problem with that one was it's quite hard plastic, so I can't actually breathe through it. It's very difficult, man. So eventually the idea evolved from not just wearing one mask, but just keeping anonymous overall, so wearing anything. And obviously what I'm wearing now is a bit better because it's cloth, so it's a bit more breathable. Yeah, so that was one of the reasons. It was just to, you know, have some sort of innovation, do something different. The other part is actually quite funny, the second reason. So when I was 17, just like any other guy, you kind of go through a stage where you want to pack on some muscle, you want to build some muscle, start watching YouTube in order to learn from tutorials on how to do certain exercises. And all these guys I would watch, I don't know why, but for whatever reason, they really like to take off their shirt. Like, for example, I get it. If you're working out or you're showing how to do the specific workout, okay, fair enough. And I understand that you need to show people what your training programs produce. Understandable. But these motherfuckers, sometimes they'll be drawing in, they'll be like inside, they'll be explaining something on the whiteboard and their whole body is just exposed. I was like, I don't want to be one of these people. I think one of them was like Athlene X, he pops to mind. That's the type of thing that he constantly does. So I was like, oh, I don't really want to be like those guys. I know I'm going to have to take off my shirt so people understand what my training does, etc. So hiding my face helped in that aspect, because then it's like, probably they don't even know who I am, so it's okay. So yeah, I didn't want to come across as arrogant or cocky. Like, oh, look at me, this is me, etc. It's like, nah, that doesn't really matter. And then the third reason is, well, this reason kind of came after my social media blew up.
And that is that it gives me quite a lot of privacy, which is, I think, really nice. Like, no matter how many followers I get or how many views, etc., my life will stay exactly the same. I wake up the same time, I go on public transport, no issues, I work out at the same spot, no one bothers me. There are people that know about my social media, but it's not a big circle of people. It's normally just like friends or close friends. In terms of, yeah, privacy and not getting too big-headed, because if you're, I have friends that have like 100k on Instagram, and if they go to a gym, there will be some people coming up to them and talking to them, etc. And when you have that constantly going, it can kind of get into your head, I think. But luckily, I don't actually have to deal with that. I can just be my own self, essentially. But yeah, those are, I think, the top three reasons on why I remain anonymous.
But still, with your tattoo, if I'm right, because you also do a lot of shirtless videos, and people could identify you with the shirt. So if you're working out somewhere, you're not recording. So I guess you will have your mask off. You will not be able to work out shirtless because people will say, oh, I know this tattoo.
Yes, you're completely right. So I don't take my shirt off if I'm not recording. It's very rare. It's actually funny. I had a bit of a rough day yesterday, and it was late in the evening. It was like 9:30 p.m. and I was going to do my dip workout. Really didn't want to do it, but I got my shit done. And in the middle of the workout, I was like, yeah, fuck it, I'm taking off my shirt. I took it off. But because it was so late, there's not many people, like there's barely any people walking past. But there was one guy that came around and he recognized me, but he was a nice guy and he didn't, like he wasn't gonna go and take pictures of me and like leak me or anything like that. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Normally, the only way you can really recognize me is through my tattoo, I'd say. There have been times where I have been recognized just from no mask, clothes on, etc. There was this one occasion where I was doing dips again, and a couple of kids came to me, and it was after my workout. They came up to me, like, oh man, is this you? And they showed me their phone, and it's me doing dips on Instagram. And I just froze. And like for 2-3 seconds, I'm like, I don't really like to lie a lot, so I wasn't going to say no, but I was like, yeah, it's me. Can you please keep it undercover? They understood, they nodded, and then it just went away. But yeah, the tattoo does identify me, I'd say. Perhaps yeah. In case if someone's doubting, yes, it's the real me here.
Not true, yeah. I didn't even think about it, but yeah, but it could
yeah,
be,
yeah, yeah.
Could be someone else.
Could be an actor for all you know.
Interesting. So, what does the tattoo mean? Is it something special? Is it something like, what's the meaning behind it?
Yeah, so I'm not sure. Have you watched the movie Undisputed by any chance?
I don't think so.
Yeah, so I wish there was a deeper meaning behind it, but essentially when I was growing up, I think I was 13, 14, there was this one movie I quite liked and I watched it. I have a twin. We watched it together. It's about MMA in prison. And there was this one fighter called Yuri Boyka, and he had the exact same chest tattoo. And I tried to find the meaning of it for quite a while. Like I searched the internet and did everything like that, but I didn't come across specific definition. And I only really got it because he had it. So that's really it. It's just from a character from a movie that I thought was cool when I was younger. And I was like, I got it when I was 18. Why not? But yeah.
Okay. You said something interesting. You have a twin. And for me, like my cousins are twins. I have a lot of friends who are twins. And for them, what I saw is like always the wish to stand out, you know, like because you always have a brother or a sister who is like quite like you. Does it also play together with your mission in general to stand out, to do something different, to go against the stream of things?
That's an interesting point. In terms of twins, you really get two types of twins. So you get the twins that get along very well and they're like best friends and they love each other. They're always together. And then you get the twins that absolutely despise each other. So unfortunately, me and my twin are a bit on the second half. We're not the bestest of friends. Like when we were younger, we'd fight all the time. All the time, man. We'd do some crazy stuff. At times, like I remember, we'd go and we'd just spit at each other. That's like the most disrespectful thing you can do to a person is just spit in their face. So that's literally what we'd do sometimes. If he annoyed you, you'd go up to him, you'd spit in his face. And then he would do the same back and we'd just go crazy. We look like siblings, but we're not the same. And the thing you mentioned about standing out is very true. So I think one mistake that parents tend to make when they have twins is they dress them exactly the same. And it's like, when you're a twin, you share so much things, so many, not characteristics, but features with this person. And you kind of want to be different. You don't want to be the same. And then when your parents buy you the same clothes, they're kind of promoting that. So yes, when we were growing up, we always wanted to do different things. In fact, it came down to things like, let's say we're watching a movie. So my twin is a bit older than me, like I think 10, 15 minutes. We're watching a movie. Let's say it's like Spider-Man. So my twin, he gets first pick because he's older. He gets to pick first who he's going to support in the movie. He always likes to go for Spider-Man, the superhero. Who do I have left? I have to go and support the villain now. And that sucked because the guy never won. My guy never won. It's so sad to see. I remember thinking, like, any movie watch, I'm like, I felt so sorry for these guys. It's like, bro, I'm literally rooting for you. Can you just win at least one time? But yeah, the conclusion is always the same. The superhero wins. Or even football matches. If he supports one team, I have to go and support the other team. You can't just support the same thing. Has that had an impact on the way I do things now? I haven't really thought about that, to be honest. I wouldn't think so, to be honest. Yeah, the way I look at it is just, if people are going to consume content or whatever else you're doing, if it's not different to what already exists, why on earth would they go and invest in you or watch your content? It just wouldn't make sense. So it has to be, something has to be different.
Because I see like an attribute of many, not all, but many successful people, may it be in sports, may it be in life in general, in business, whatever, is that they are not afraid, or that they even search for going against the mainstream. And these are the people who are mostly also motivated by negative things. Let's say someone who I really respected back in the days in 2016, something told me, hey, it's impossible to build a clothing brand in calisthenics. I tried it myself. It's impossible because people are really, they don't have a lot of money. It's young people. They are not looking for high quality clothing. They are like more cheaper things. And for a second, it demotivated me. But then I thought, damn, I will show you. I will prove you wrong. And it was like, this going against the opinions of the mass or of the others. And this is what I, when you talk, you know, it reminds me of this mentality of, you know, it's cold, but I will work out anyways. You didn't feel like working out yesterday, but you still did it. So kind of going against what feels natural or what feels, normal, going against normal.
There's always going to be people that are going to be against it. Even for me, probably when I went to my first few competitions, people were thinking like, why has this guy got a mask on? What, do you think he's gangster or something? Like, what's going on? Take it off. But it's like, I didn't care to the point where I didn't even know if people were saying this, but I'm sure they were. Cause like, they don't see the vision. They don't understand where it could go. So yeah, you just got to block them out and like, you do your own thing. I'll do my own thing. And yeah,
but explain to us the vision. Really, it's even for me, and I always try to be like without prejudges, but everybody has something in his head which is like just programmed things of the past. And even for me, it's super weird, and I didn't understand, why do you wear a mask? Why you're inspiring so many people, also like in your Instagram, etc. There are many people who you really inspire, but for me, it's not understandable how you do like the personal development. You listen to podcasts, you know, you work on yourself. But on the other hand, you hide yourself and show other people, or like, I don't know, are you not proud of yourself? You know, like why don't you show yourself? Even for me, I don't understand. What is the vision?
I mean, I think most of the work that we do, it depends on the situation, but it kind of get, for me anyway, all the stuff I do pretty much all by myself. All my training, and most people, they look at my Instagram, they think I just do push-ups, they think I'm some meathead. Nah, man, I'm just like Max True. I'm a computer scientist, I'm at university, I did the best in my school in my year group. So when I was 16, I got the best GCSE results. The highest grade you can get was a 9. I got all 9s with the exception of 3 subjects where I got 2 8s and 1 7. And then when I did my A-levels, which is exams which you when you're 18, normal students do 3 subjects. I did 5 subjects in my first year. Second year, I dropped to 4 and got A-stars in every single one, which is the top grade you can get. I'm not saying this to be like, oh, look at me, I'm so smart, etc. Nah, I'm saying this. You can do both. You can be both academic and you can be an athlete. And sometimes it's very difficult and it's very rare to see these type of people. And sometimes, let's say I have like a very good training session where I pushed myself very hard and I go to the classroom. Most of the day I spend studying. So I go into my computer lab or the library and I start thinking to myself, I'm not even a nerd. I'm an athlete. I shouldn't be here. And then I'm like, hold on. What's Max Trude doing? He's a software engineer and he does his reps and he has a world record. If you remember these people like this, and then you go and you do your shit. Same thing can happen. Let's say I did wrote some very good code. Everything worked. I feel proud of myself. I go to the park and I'm like, oh, I'm not even an athlete. I'm like, bro, I'm a software engineer. I should be doing stuff like this. Everyone in my labs, they're small. They're frail. I shouldn't be like this. But no, you remember the other people and you get it done. But in terms of the vision that you mentioned, it's like, I saw the potential of an account such as myself doing well on social media because it like a guy, no one knows who he is and he's doing hundreds of repetitions. I thought it may have potential. That's why I did it. And yeah, as I said, like most of the work that you do, in my opinion, it goes unnoticed. That's the whole master mentality meaning really. Yeah, doing stuff. And it doesn't matter if you get recognition for it or not, because at the end of the day, you're kind of just doing it for yourself. Yeah, that's what I would say.
Okay, so summarize and correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. The master mentality is to show, of course, you have to post something. So you can't have every work unnoticed. You have to share something to show that you are doing something.
Master mentality is you develop a discipline and work ethic, but it does not matter if it goes unnoticed. But to be honest, most people will... People will see you in the classroom. People will see you in the park. They'll see you working hard, sweating, etc. So they will notice eventually. But it's like, it doesn't matter. You can just do it all by yourself in your quiet way if you want to. You don't have to be going around telling people everything you're doing, because what's that going to do? It's not going to move you forward in any way.
Okay, so you built the image of the masked mediator, who is like super strong in endurance calisthenics, who is doing push-ups crazy, you know, but you are not dependent on people knowing that it's you personally. You don't have to say, hey, it's me who did all this. You don't care and you just hide behind a mask because you're not dependent on their recognition. Is it that?
Yes, precisely. Yeah.
Okay.
That's good. Correct.
Now I understand. Because I don't know. Yeah, as I said, like a lot of images pop up in my head. I think also like older people, if they see you with a mask, etc., they will think, "Damn, what is this guy doing? I don't think he's a good
idol. Not a good civilian.
Yeah, good civilian, you know." Yeah, but this makes sense.
A lot of people as well. You tell me, did you expect me to be like this?
No, I thought I'm like always preparing mentally for every interview, and most of the athletes I know personally before. But we, like, if you check our Instagram chat, there is not one message we exchanged. We never had touch in our lives. And even the organization for this interview did not take place through you. So, this is why I didn't know anything. No clue. What is happening.
Most people, they look at my stuff and they think I'm some aggressive Russian dude. With plenty of energy. There's no energy, man. There's no energy. It's all filtered out. Even this morning, I got up at fucking 6:30. I do normally open water swimming in the morning. So I go and swim in cold water. All my energy is left there. There's a time and place for aggression. And it's all left there. So during the day, of course I'm going to be at peace. Of course I'm going to be restful. Yeah, that's another thing that people don't get, which is quite funny to me. They think I'm some sort of monster. It's like, nah, man. I've left all my stuff in the park. I've left my stuff in the lake.
Tell us about this this work, this mental work that you do. You said that you're actively working on yourself. You leave let's say your demons in the lake or in the park. Can you tell us more about it? How you get to this point, to this moment of feeling that this is important?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, how did I get to this feeling important? I think I'll start off by describing my routine. So I pretty much live the same day every single day, with the exception of a Sunday. So I wake up at 7, I go swim all year round. I hate the cold water. Fucking hate it, man. Sometimes I wake up, I have a window right by my side, right next to my bed. I open the curtains. Sometimes we don't get much snow in London. Sometimes there's fucking snow. There's condensation dripping down my window. And I'm like all nice and tucked in into my warm covers. I don't want to go and swim in the fucking lake. No way. No way. Man, it gets so tough sometimes. But I drag myself out. I go swim. Normally then I come back, have breakfast around 9. From then on, I start studying or doing some sort of coding. My studying technique is quite simple. I study 5 clean hours a day. And what I mean by clean hours is I time every single hour. So I have a stopwatch. If one of my friends comes and distracts me, I stop the stopwatch and I start it again. So I study in 50 minutes I work, 10 minute I rest. Do that 3 times, then 1 hour for lunch, and another 3 times, and then that's the end of the day. So I very much work by time. Then I have my evening workout at 7, which is the calisthenics workout. And then I get home around by 9, have dinner, and go to bed at 10:30 is my normal bedtime. And then on a Sunday, I do everything the same, but I don't do the studying or the coding during the day. So it's more of a day off. In terms of how did I get to this point, that is a very deep question. I can start off by going back to a part of my childhood. So one of the toughest things I faced when I was in my life, it was actually when I was 14. So for context, I went to a normal state school, so a very normal school. In terms of my the income of my family, it's so my dad works, my mom doesn't work at all, and it's quite a big family, so it's 6 people overall. I have a twin and 2 sisters, so it's 4 people. Currently I live alone, but back then we lived in a 2-bedroom flat. It was very packed. I lived in the same room as my brother for 18 years. It was not nice. I didn't like living with my parents at all. It was very tough. Like, I have a very strict dad. I got my first smartphone when I was 18 years old, for example. Like, that's just one thing. There's many other things I can go into. But what happened was, I was going to a normal school, and when I was 14, my parents found some money from my grandparents. My grandparents donated some money, which allowed us to go to a private school. A private school is one that you pay for, and the people that go there are a bit different in terms of socioeconomic status. So I went from this normal school with my normal friends to this private school with, like, I'm not going to name any names, but I had a son of a celebrity go, and this celebrity is like, you would see this celebrity on like adverts in the tube or on the bus. It was nuts. So it was very much quite wealthy people, and it meant that I didn't really feel the same around them. I couldn't really make much friends with them because, I don't know, perhaps it was a respect aspect or something like that, but it just didn't feel like my spot. Don't get me wrong, over time I developed some nice friendships, but it meant that I still kind of felt some distance. What that meant, I was kind of socially isolated. And one of my biggest fear, well, there was people from what I've read before, it was the biggest fear that people have is loneliness and public speaking, and those are the two of my biggest fears. So loneliness was one of them, and because of this social, I became a bit of an outcast. It meant I had quite a lot of time for myself when I was all alone and I didn't really have anything to do. I was like, okay, I felt an urge to prove these guys wrong, that no matter how rich your parents are or how well off you are, me, a guy from a council estate, I'm still going to beat you. So then what I started doing, I was 14, I started after school studying 2 to 3 hours after school every day. And slowly I started getting better. And what happened during the holidays is these guys would all hang out together. But I didn't even have a phone, so I didn't hang out with anyone. So what happened, what I started doing is developing these routines where I'd go and I'd time every single part of my day, and I'll include a workout, and then the rest of the time I'll probably be studying mostly, and I'll execute these routines. And sometimes the thing is, people normally, they get ready for an exam or some event. I wasn't getting ready for an exam. I was just trying to challenge myself. We had, I remember, I think I was 15, and, or yes, I was 15, and we had a whole year before an exam, but I was already studying for it. I was already revising the material we just covered. I was ready to sit the exam at any point. I discovered that click, that the more you work, the more likely you're to achieve shit. You get an output. So then I was like, okay, cool. So I'm just going to keep doing this. And at times it got really, really tough. Like, I'm sure I've reached the burnt out stage many times when I was in school. Like, it was crazy. Like, I'd wake up, everything would feel gray, monotone, or actions between, is this going to be painful or is this not going to be painful? Going to the shops, oh, that seems long. That seems painful. I don't want to do that. You know, I've been at times where it's like, I've done so much work and it's like, I just want to cry. And I'm like, why the fuck do I want to cry? Like, I'm not hurt by someone. I'm just very isolated, very lonely, but it was crazy. And sometimes I would drop a few tears like in the shower here and there, but yeah, it was very tough. But that's where the work ethic was kind of discovered, the discipline. It was just all by myself. And sometimes it sucked so bad. Yeah, because I think it's much easier to do something like together. You know, humans are very social creatures. So when you're all there by yourself, it definitely gets difficult. Yeah. And then I just kept going and going and going. And yeah, the workouts got harder and harder. The studying gave result as well. And yeah, it's the same stuff I'm doing now. Like the routines, they're pretty much the same. I'm still doing them. Yeah. You discover the work is done all by yourself. Yeah. That's how I kind of discovered it was due to social isolation for me.
And I think this story is again a proof for that it's everything about channeling the energy right. So some people might use this energy to do something destructive. You use it to do something productive, to build the best version of yourself, to create a movement of it, to create a community of it, even maybe a business, you know, but like you use it for yourself instead of against yourself or someone else. And I think this is what people need to understand, that everybody goes in life through different difficult phases, that everybody has the demons to fight, but it's all about channeling the energy into the right direction and using it for you. Sure. Interesting. So, maybe you can tell us more about your workout style. Like, how do you work out? How is your workout today?
Yeah, I mean, even if you go on social media now, you get a bunch of these guys that are like, oh, this is the most efficient way to hit this muscle group. And you have to do these 5 exercises and this and that. For me, normally for a workout, I do 2 exercises. That's it. So if I have a push day, I'm doing dips and push-ups. That's it. You don't have to be an Einstein for this stuff. If you just take your muscles to fucking failure, if your kneecaps are shaking after your leg day, your legs will grow. Like, it will just happen. They will grow. So for me, it's quite high rep endurance. I would imagine like many other calisthenics endurance athletes. So yeah, it's normally just 2 exercises. I do max sets. So the max sets are the ones that fucking suck. So for example, yesterday, one thing I'm training is my dips. Because one day, in fact, when I was listening to your podcast and Max Chu was talking about his world record, I was like, damn, what if I get a world record one day? I was like, okay, that thought, it kind of lingered at the back of my head and it kept on coming back. So then I was like, okay, well, let me pick an exercise. I ended up picking dips because there's not that many other athletes that do dips. So I thought perhaps I have a chance there. So yeah, even yesterday, the workout was max dips first set and then sets of 15 with 30 second rest until 1000. So the first set is the one that fucking sucks, man. Cause you're going to deep waters and you're drowning yourself. Like for the dips, the pain is coming. The pain is going to be in my chest, my triceps, my shoulders is going to feel like it's about to fucking pop. Everything, like, I just want to let go of those bars and just hit the floor. And the thing is, I can just do that. So before these max sets, I normally sit down and I take a couple of minutes to try and think back to either emotional wounds or something that has hurt me in the past and bring it up. So it could be anything. It could be like you've broken up with your girlfriend. Perhaps your best friend betrayed you or something like this. Whatever it is, I try to bring it up and use that for adrenaline. So it reawakens me. Get the adrenaline rush, go into the set. And then when you get to those deep water reps where your arms are about to give out, I tend not to think about anything. I just think about the next rep or the next five reps. That's another thing. Like, don't think about the whole set. Like, for example, if you have a target of doing 140 dips, don't think about if you've done 70, well, I got another 70 to go. Nah, just think about it in fives. Just do it in fives and go from there. So yeah, in terms of my training style, it's normally a max set in the beginning of a specific exercise, and then I'll do supersets of that exercise until I reach a certain number. So for example, for pull-ups, it will be max pull-up for the first set, and then all the other sets will be 10 pull-ups, 10 Australian pull-ups, 1 minute rest, 10-10. Keep going until I get roughly to 300 in total. But yeah, that's my style. It was largely influenced by a guy I met at the park. So that's another story I can tell, how I kind of got into calisthenics in the first place. So the way I kind of got into it was when I was 17, as I mentioned before, I wanted to gain muscle and I started doing resistance training. So I did gym, I hit the weights, but then some of my exercises would be calisthenics. So at that point, I trained some pull-ups, some push-ups, etc. And I did that for 1 year. And then I remember, I think it was sometime in the winter, I hopped on my bike and I saw loads of these guys doing freestyle on YouTube, doing calisthenics. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Let me see where the closest park is. So I went to the park. And at the time, I just learned a pullover. So yeah, that was like, I thought I'm a beast. I knew how to do a pullover. I finally got it. So I came to this park. And I did a couple pullovers, feeling like I'm a beast. And then in my peripheral vision, I can see there's this one guy in a hoodie. And he's just in the corner, just in the dark. He's just doing push-ups. And he just keep doing them and keep doing. And I take more notice. And it's like, he's there for a long fucking time. I'm like, okay, interesting. I want to speak to this guy. And I remember I was a bit nervous going to approach him. And thank God I got over that. Because it turned out the person, so I went up to him. I asked him, yo, bro, like, how many did you do? And he just answered with a straight face. He's like, oh, that was 100. I'm like, damn, that's like a big number. To me, at the time, that seemed like a big number. I was like, damn, that's a lot. He's like, nah, bro, be serious. And then he just goes back and continues doing his stuff. It turned out I was talking to Kes. So he's another influencer. I think his Instagram is Kes_K_. So this guy is huge. This guy is able to perform 1,000 push-ups in one set without dropping. I don't know if you've come across him online. But yeah, I think you guys should do an interview as well. Love that guy. So he was like a living proof for me that you can, doing just reps, you can build a muscular body. And that kind of stayed at the back of my mind. I went back to my normal training, but it was kind of always there. It was always there because I also knew calisthenics mentally, in my opinion, endurance calisthenics is more tough because it takes you more time to get to that failure. It's more painful, in my opinion. So I kept thinking back to that. And it's funny what the tilting point was, the final snap. Man, this feels so stupid. But I remember I was working my first job and I had a crush on this girl. And we talked, whatever, things seemed to be going well. But at the end of it, I just got rejected outright. And that hurt me a lot. I don't know why, but it hurt me a lot. And all I wanted to do was just suffer. I just wanted to train. So I was like, you know what? Fuck it. All this weights and stuff, it can go and be in the gym. I'm just going to go outside and do this crazy workout. And that's when I kind of made the full switch to only bodyweight training. It's a bit of a, looking bad at it, a stupid reason. Yeah. But yeah, it's just the way it happened. I forgot where I'm going with this. That's how I started. Yes. And Kes, so I've mentioned before, I'm good friends with him. I bump into him in the park all the time. And because I one of the reasons why I started social media was I saw him doing it. So I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Might as well do my own thing as well. So if I didn't meet him, I wouldn't have started my social media accounts. And I look up to him quite a lot. He's like a big role model to me. Even like, I feel like when us people, we go through a tough time, if we're lucky, there's a group of people that we can think of. And for some reason, we know that if we speak to them, they'll have some sort of an answer of how to get through the things we're going through. And he's one of those people for me. I remember when I was, as I mentioned, I have a strict dad. And one time my dad was like, all right, we're doing a curfew for 9 p.m. So if you come back after 9 p.m., I don't know if you have the same lock, but you can turn a switch on so that even if you have the key, you can't get in from the outside. So he said at 9 p.m., you can't get in. And I remember I was studying all day and I had a couple of events with some society work I do at university. And then I hit a leg workout and I came home at 9:15 and this guy locked the door. And that bothered me. And my phone was out of battery as well. So I had to go. I was hungry. I wanted to get food. In the end, my mom talked to my dad and they let me back in. But still, that moment, it just annoyed me. And I remember I was like, yeah, I just have to go speak to Kes. I wonder how his parents were with him. And that's exactly what I did. So he's had a big influence on my training style. That's why it mostly consists of reps. That's why I do max sets, because I saw him doing max sets of push-ups. And that sort of like translated, I guess.
Nice. So for the week, you said push-ups and dips, like dips and push-ups is the push day. Can you go through the schedule for the week?
Yeah, so the way I do it is I have a push-pull legs day.
Mm-hmm.
So I work 3 days on, 1 day off. My morning, either in the morning I do swimming outdoors or I go for a run. Right now I have an injury, so I can't do any running, unfortunately. I overworked my tendon. I think it's Achilles tendonitis, but it's healing up quite quickly, which is nice. So I just do the swimming. And then in the evenings, it's push, pull legs, and then 1 day rest. Push, pull legs, 1 day rest. So for push, it's normally push-ups and dips, or sometimes it's just dips. For legs, it's squats and calf raises, 500 reps on each. And then for pull-ups, it's pull-ups and Australian pull-ups. So yeah, as you can see, there's not much variation. Sometimes I do muscle-ups as well. I alternate each week, but yeah, it's like same stuff over and over again. I try to get a PR in my max sets, and then every few months I increase the whole volume or the intensity by like lowering rest time or increasing reps per set, etc. Those are the tough times when you have to increase everything. It's like, I can't be asked to do this, bro.
Interesting. What is the reason for the calf raises? Because calves are the ultimate front lever planche killer, whatever. I don't see a lot of calisthenics athletes working on calves.
I don't know. I mean, they're just part of the legs. So I thought for the leg day, you know, you have to try and hit the whole leg, you can't just hit the top part. That's why I do the calf raises. I don't train statics at all. I can do a handstand on parallel bars, because I used to find that fun. But nowadays, because of the swimming, I used to do some statics in the morning, but not now. I think it's fun. I don't think it's as tough as endurance. No disrespect to all the other static guys out there. Can be fun, but I'm not here to have fun, man. I'm here to get my shit in, you know what I mean? So yeah, not my vibe, I guess.
Interesting. And yeah, tell us about the swimming. The is it also, man, just because of discomfort, or also like the health benefits?
So the swimming, cold water. Oh man, has been my enemy for the last year. I've been doing this for roughly a year, maybe just over. So there's a swimming club in London where you're allowed to swim in the Serpentine, which I'm part of. So I am allowed to do this. I don't want people just going and jumping in lakes and then it turns out it's like the water's toxic or something. So yeah, don't do that. But yeah, I remember the way I got into it. One of my friends, his mom was part of this club, and he mentioned it to me, and I was thinking, swimming in cold water, that's quite badass, bro. Like in the winter as well. Like that's crazy. Imagine the guy, he goes, does his reps, and then he goes and swims in a fucking lake in the morning as well. Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, let's see if you can do this. And I started doing it bit by bit. I wouldn't swim a crazy distance. I remember when I just started, I would literally just swim 50 meters and that's it. So it's not really much about the swimming. It's about the cold water. Much tougher to swim in cold water. Your body goes numb. It goes stiff. It's not nice. There have been times where in the first winter, so right now it's what, October. The first winter I had, I found it tough, man. Like this stuff will wake me up during the night. I'll wake up during the night because it bothered me. I was restless. I couldn't sleep. I was like, at 7 a.m. or 6:30, I'm going to have to wake up and get cold. No way. No way. I don't want to do this shit. So yeah, it'll haunt me. It haunt me for a few nights. But eventually, as you get the habit, you go and it becomes a bit easier going to the place. So it's a bit less dreadful. But getting in the water will still suck. I remember one day, there's only really one day I think I fully gave up, where I was like, nah, I'm not going just because I don't want to. I remember that day and that just got so deep. I remember I rewatched my childhood. I remember when I was 15, I really liked the first movie of Creed. So I rewatched that, had some nostalgia, really thought about my life, went to a deep place because it felt weird just like just having the inability. I was just fully in defeat. It didn't feel good. I remember I cried a bit as well. Like it didn't make sense to me. It was like, nah, man, can't be defeated. And I remember the next morning, I couldn't wait for the next morning because it would have meant that I can go in the water and win. I can be victorious again. So I woke up in the morning and normally to get to the lake, I go by tube and then I run from the tube stop to the lake. It's a very quick 5 to 10 minute run. And as I'm running, I pass a part of the lake as I'm running and I'm talking to it. I'm like, oh shit, it's you again. Oh, guess what? I'm back. And today I'm going to get in and you can't do nothing about it. I'll go and I'll personify it. I'm talking to that motherfucker. So yeah, and I got in. I did my shit. But yeah, I do recommend cold water. You do have to pay cold water. As I mentioned, I listen to quite a lot of podcasts when I eat. And, one of the ones I listened to was, I think it was Cold Exposure by Andrew Huberman. I just came across it and everything he was saying, it was exactly the same as what I was feeling. It was crazy. And he goes over a lot of the impacts it has on your dopamine system and etc. And I feel like because of this cold exposure, as of now, I didn't really get burnt out. Like I can continue doing my routine and stick to my pace and not go to to shambles or a dark place, it's like I can just keep grinding basically. But it's still tough. Even this morning, man, woke up. I was meant to wake up at 7. I woke up at 4. I was awake. We had rain. It was raining. I was like, I don't want to do this shit. Went back to bed. Woke up at 6:30 again. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna be on this podcast with Phil. I can't go on a podcast and start talking about anything when I haven't done my shit. So I got up and went and did my stuff. But yeah, I do highly recommend it to people. And if you can't go and swim in the lake, perhaps try cold showers. Go time yourself. Try to stay there for 5 minutes. Increase it to 10 minutes. Yeah, it's a good thing, in my opinion.
Super interesting, because just this weekend, our my good friend Daniel Flefiel, he's also a big fan of like cold exposure and swimming in, or like just ice bath and in Swedish lakes where he has to break the ice before getting in. So also like crazy things, and yeah. I this is why I read a lot about it, and this weekend we also bought a big tub for the balcony to fill it with water and to do the ice bathing in the winter. The thing with the ice bathing, I think the studies say it's good for recovery, right? It quickens up like being sore. It shortens the time that you are sore and you recover much quicker. But it's hot showers and hot therapy in general is good because it lets the muscle be sore, but is better for muscle growth. So cold exposure is better for recovery, but worse for muscle growth. And hot therapy is better for muscle growth, but less for recovery. So this is what the studies say, I think. And this is why I'm always doubting, you know, do I want to recover quicker or do I want to build more muscle and like have more strength in the end? But do you think about these things or is it just...
I don't care, bro. I just gotta go prove a point on myself, really. Yeah, it doesn't cross my mind at all.
Because there are even like more efficient, there might be people saying after this interview, there are more efficient ways to work out. There are more efficient ways to recover, you know, than to go into the lake. But this is not your focus, right?
This is not about efficiency, bro.
Yeah.
When you get in that cold water, no genetics is going to help you, man. When the push-ups don't care, man. They don't care about anything. They're still going to hurt. It does not matter. Does not matter at all. When you're studying and it's like the last 10 minutes and you just want to quit and go talk to your friends, no efficiency, no fucking genetics, nothing's going to help you, bro. So yeah, it's not my vibe, I guess.
But yeah. But that's super interesting. And I with this interview, I understand more and more your mentality and how you see life. And what do you think? What is your goal? If we do this interview, what do you want people to take with them after hearing this, and that's after your years of learning now?
That's a good question. I mean, a lot of people, everyone's going through some sort of struggle. At the end of the day, we're all people. Stuff happens. And what I found for me is, like, people, I think when they go to my account, there's a lot of people that are either out of shape or in a tough spot or depressed, etc. What I found, what can help with this? First of all, is your room fucking clean? Go and clean your room. Make sure everything is tidy. So that when you come back, everything's laid out. Sort out your sleep. Whenever you go to bed, same time you go to bed, same time you wake up. Of course, some days it can happen where it's a bit later, but try and stick to that. Start training and start training hard. Start trying to push to your limits. It's very difficult and it sucks and I hate it. I don't even like talking about it either because I know this fucking evening, it's fucking leg day. I'm going to have to whip out my vest and start doing squats. I don't want to do that again. No way. But get it done. It's only an hour a day. Okay? You're not going to die. Right? Just do these things. If you have any other goals, write out a plan. That's what has worked for me. Write out a routine. And try to stick with it. From my experience, the first 3 days or the first week are normally the toughest. It's a full out war. It's a full out war. The first couple of days, like, you don't want to stick to those hours. You want to do whatever you normally do. That's what your habit is. You're fighting your brain. You're trying to change the neural pathways in your brain, your little habits. And if it means that you have to study for an hour and you've done 50 minutes and it's 10 minutes left and you just can't focus at all, just sit there for 10 minutes until the 10 minutes is up. Because guess what? Now you completed the hour and now it counts. Normally the first week can be quite tough. But as you go along, what happens is, well, why should I do this routine today? Well, I did it yesterday. I managed to pull it off yesterday. So therefore, I can do it today. So the more days you get under your belt, the greater confidence you have in completing your routine. It becomes more of a habit. If people are looking at me, it's like, start sorting yourself out. Try to win the morning. If you win the morning, the rest of the day is more likely to go better. For me, that means going straight for a workout, because it means if I've ran 10 miles or if I've swam in the lake, that's quite a big obstacle for me. I found that tough. So now all of the stuff, all of the challenges I have coming up, they don't seem as big in comparison. So if I've done that in the morning, well, why can't I do this? And then another technique, I've actually stolen this from Jordan Peterson, but something I realized I used to do is, let's say I have a long day of studying ahead of me. I don't want to think of this day as, oh, I have 6 hours ahead of studying. That's dreadful. That's overwhelming. Take it 1 hour at a time. Think of it as, let me get these 3 hours and then I have a lunch. Okay? Shorten the time frame. Focus on one day at a time. Even now, I don't want to think about all the times that I have to go and swim in the cold. No way. I do it every day. I don't want to think of what hundreds of times I'm going to do this. Nah, one morning at a time. And it's getting colder as well. The winter's coming, man. You know that saying from Game of Thrones? Winter's coming. I feel that to the core. Every single word, every single letter. Yes, I recommend shortening the time frame. It can really help when you're going through a tough spot.
Nice. It really feels you found your rhythm and you found your routine that suits you. But still, I'm asking, what is your goal? What are the next steps?
So my personal goals. Okay. Right. So as I've mentioned before, I'm a student, computer science student. I have one more year left until I graduate. Normally, I didn't expect my social media to blow up this much at all, that quickly. I thought it would take me many years and I was prepared to wait for that. But luckily it just happened. So before, my plan was just to go into a normal software engineering job. Now I kind of want to work on my brand, so start selling my products, etc. So I've been coding part of my website, and hopefully I'll be able to get it done by the end of the academic year. So in terms of my work life, I want to run my own company and I want to keep making videos. I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull it off. I have no clue. I've done coding, etc. before, but I haven't done any business aspect of it. So I'm going to have a lot of things to learn. Probably going to fail many, many times, but it's okay. I'm not rich either. I don't have like a safety net. I live completely independently of my parents. I have a student loan given to me by the government. And I live off roughly £15,000 per year. Not sure how much that is in dollars. So I don't live a wealthy life. So if it fails, I have to go live with my parents again, and that'll be the end of that. But I'll definitely give that a shot. In terms of physical challenges, so one of the people I will look up to is obviously David Goggins. a guy I look up to a lot. For 3-4 years now, but he has a challenge, the 4x4x48. So when I was doing my running, that's what I was preparing for. The challenge is you run 4 miles every 4 hours for 48 hours. So one of the challenges I wanted to do. Eventually, I do want to attempt some sort of world record, as I mentioned before. So these are my physical goals. And then I do want to achieve the 1,000 push-ups in one set as well. So that's another thing I'm working towards. But apart from that, it's just, I don't know, wherever it takes me, really. We'll see.
Nice. That's super cool. I'm really looking forward to see this. And I hope you will continue documenting it on social media and your journey. Do you also do YouTube, or is it which channels are you active on right now?
So currently, main channel is probably Instagram and TikTok. I also do YouTube as well, so I'm trying to get more of that. As I mentioned before, I do many other things from all this social media stuff, so it can be very difficult for me to balance everything. So for YouTube videos, because it takes much longer to edit, I don't have that many coming out, but I will do eventually as I finish university. And even now, I have some planned shoots that I'll be doing with other athletes. And then, I mean, all my social media channels is just mask_media, so it's all the same everywhere. So yeah.
I forgot to ask, what does mediator mean for you?
Good question. I mean, when I was coming up with the name, I wanted it to be quite a unique name. I remember I was sitting in the kitchen with my flatmate, and we're trying to come up with a name, masked something. We couldn't come up with the second part. And I wanted kind of a slogan of beating the inner bitch inside you, something along those lines. And then I remember the other one we were considering, it was a masked intermediary. I don't know why we wanted that name, but it was one we were thinking of. But at the end, we searched some synonyms and stuff, and we came across mediator, and I quite liked it because it reminded me of the word Terminator, which I thought was cool. So I was like, all right, cool, let me just stick with this one. So I was like, yeah, mediating the inner bitch to a path of discipline and strength. So that's what it came down to.
Interesting, because like if I look up the Oxford Languages definition of mediator, it's a person who attempts to make people involved in a conflict come to an agreement.
Yeah.
So it's the complete opposite of Terminator. It's like, or like at least terminating a conflict. So terminating something, destructive. But I think mediator is a nice word because it shows the conflict. It shows the solution and how you use it for you. Mm-hmm. Nice. Cool. Yeah. We're slowly coming to an end of the interview, and I'm super grateful for you taking the time. In the beginning, I wanted to ask you what do you think will happen if one day you will get leaked? Will it change something? Will you someday change like show your face anyways from yourself, or what will happen if you get leaked? Is it a fear? Did you think about it? Doesn't matter?
Yeah. So. Don't get, any system, it has vulnerabilities in it. So don't get me wrong. There are many vulnerabilities that I know of, that there are ways that people can get to my identity. They simply exist. And in fact, I should tell you this story. There was this one girl that somehow, so she knew nothing. So this was a girl I met, in my workplace. I work as a waiter part time, normally during the summer. So we were interested in one another and we exchanged phone numbers, and eventually we were texting. And at one point, so all she knew was, so she asked me at one point during our work, she was like, oh, do you work out? Oh, sorry, do you go gym? And I said, no. And then underneath my breath, I was like, I muttered like, oh, I do something else. And then she heard and she's like, oh, you do calisthenics. And I was like, quite surprised that she even knew what that was. So she knew that. We talked about tattoos for a bit, and I mentioned that I have a tattoo on my chest. I didn't describe it at all. That was it. And then when we were texting later, she mentioned that she tried to stalk me on social media, but she didn't find anything. So I was like, I do have social media, but I'm anonymous. That's the only thing she knew. And then a couple of days later, she comes back and she sends me a screenshot of my account. And she's like, found you, babes. I'm like, what the fuck? It was nuts. So she managed to find me with like no clues whatsoever. And she's not even into the sport that much. I eventually, obviously, we talked about it with her, how she found it. And I patched that bit up so that other people can't get through to me like that. But there are definitely ways of people finding out. There are quite a few people that know. Currently, I don't tell anyone about it. The last person I told was my dentist. He's a nice guy and I know he'll keep it private. It's funny, I can go into this other story where I chipped my tooth from a muscle up. So those are completely fake, my front two teeth, pretty much. That's how I know the dentist. But if people find out, I don't think it'll be too much of a deal. Because let's say my real face gets leaked. People will see it like once, but I don't think it would be enough for them to remember that face. So I can still pretty much keep doing what I'm doing. But I would, for now, I would prefer to keep it private. I enjoy my privacy. I don't want to be treated, because people, they think when you have a high social media following, they think you're some celebrity, they think you're rich, etc. But man, it's probably not the case. Like, I struggle to pay bills sometimes. I don't make any money from it currently. Hopefully, eventually I will. But it's a bit of a false perception.
Interesting. You have to tell us the story of the
tooth. Yeah, no problem. So when I was 18, I just moved to my student accommodation. And obviously, as I think many calisthenics athletes do, whenever they go on holiday or they go to a new spot, one of the first things they do, they go on that weird website or they go on Google Maps and they search up calisthenics parks near me. That's exactly what I did. And I was doing a workout. I remember at the time I could barely do, but I could do only a couple of muscle ups. And the bar I was doing it on, it was quite thick and uncomfortable. But I was doing a couple of muscle ups and then I had overhead headphones on. And on the way down, they kind of fell awkwardly off. So I put my knees out, my legs, to catch them with my legs. And then as I went down, I just heard like a zing. And I was like, the hell? I had a zing. And then there was like white splashes coming out of my, white dots coming out of my mouth. I was like, did I just chip my teeth? No way. And I feel, I try and feel the part with my tongue. And there's just a gap. I'm like, what is going on? Because I didn't feel anything. There was no pain. There was nothing. And then I go on my phone and, I see that, yeah, like both of my front two teeth, like the halves are just missing. It's just the way I went down on the muscle up. It was like an awkward angle. And I think my mouth must have been open. So it just, knocked them out. And normally on a normal day, I would be like, okay, cool. And I just go back to the workout. But because I was going through this, like moving houses, making new friends, I was a bit more unstable. So I was like, oh shit. I remember I called out my friend. I was like, bro, I think I just knocked out my teeth. Like, what do I do? But eventually I took like a 5-minute break and I got back and completed my workout. And then, my parents were kind enough to pay for a private dentist to sort the teeth out. So very nice guy, my dentist, he sorted it out. And when he was complete, it looked like my teeth were better after than they were before I chipped them. So I was like, man, I should have knocked all of my teeth out. This guy did such a good job. That's how it happened. Like I've left teeth. You know how in Pirates of the Caribbean, I think there's a scene where some of the crewmates, they grow into the ship and they become part of the ship. It's like, I'm the same, but it's like my teeth had been left at the park. My calluses, my skin, my blood has sometimes been smeared on the bar when there's a lot of blood. I'm growing into the park. I'm part of the park, basically. I'm leaving everything out there.
Nice. Yeah, crazy. So,
it was super interesting to get to know more about you and your mission, your vision, your goals, your mentality, your routines. And yeah, it was super, super nice. Thank you for taking the time. And yeah, is there anything you want to tell to the community? Anything like the word to end this episode is for you?
The end of the episode is go and do your fucking push-ups. That's it.
Nice. Awesome. Then, yeah, thanks for your time. And yeah.
Thank you. We'll stay in touch.